Hello and welcome to the First Manufacturing Global podcast. Today we talk to Charles Anderton of CG Tech and he discusses digital transformation and the effect that COVID-19 has had on operations. Enjoy. You can tell me a bit about you and I suppose your career journey to finding yourself today with CG Tech.
Yeah, absolutely. So my background's in aerospace engineering. So I have an undergraduate and graduate degree there. And started my career as a manufacturing engineer, working with automated fiber placement. So the rapid deposition of pre-slit carbon fiber material on a big form. So I did that for some time, actually programming those machines and working with those machines on a daily basis. And then ended up actually transitioning to my current role, which is a composites product specialist for CG Tech, making the software that I used previously to program the machines. So it's kind of funny how that transpired, but yeah.
Excellent. And I see on your LinkedIn as well, you're also doing a Master of Business Administration as well. So do you sort of, is that sort of in the back burner as well? Are you doing that to get another sort of string to your bow? What's that about?
Well, so I'm somewhat ashamed to say, but as an engineering student, I never fully appreciated business. You know, I saw some of my friends who pursued business degrees, and, you know, they may have a worksheet to study for a test, and I'm spending 6, 7, 8 hours on a homework assignment. So I became jaded pretty quickly, and in hindsight, that was a large mistake. You know, through my experience at CG Tech, I have gotten a chance to support some pre-sales activities, and it's a lot harder than I thought. It's a lot more important than I thought, and so I quickly gained an appreciation for that. And my pursuit of my MBA is definitely to expand my knowledge with that and get a further appreciation for that aspect.
And in terms of CG Tech itself, can you tell me what sort of differentiates the organization and really makes it different and stand out?
Yeah, so CG Tech has over 30 years of NC code simulation, verification, optimization experience. We're a professional software company. That's all we do. And so we focus on that core competence of working with actual NC code. The biggest thing that sets us apart from, you know, alternatives or competitors is the fact that we're actually dealing with the real NC code. So the same code that we're working with and simulating is the exact same thing that would run on your machine on your shop floor. And most of our competitors deal with the pre-posted case, which is somewhat of an ideal. An analogy would be that if you have your engineering design in a CAD simulation or in a CAD program, the reality of producing that part is different than the design. The manufacturing process has many differences than the design. So because of that, we are much closer to the manufacturing process. We're actually simulating the manufacturing process as accurately as we can. Mm-hmm. And we can catch things like machine collisions. We can catch things like differences between what the NC programmer intended versus what they got. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to optimize the actual NC code before it runs on the real machine, and being, you know, next door neighbors to the manufacturing process as close as you can get to that really gives us a lot of advantages in providing our customers with a lot of value.
Lovely. Thank you very much. And in terms of, you know, your full product line and product offering, can you describe that to me and tell me sort of the services and solutions that you offer?
Absolutely. So I mentioned our core competence is the NC code simulation, verification, and optimization. Mm-hmm. And we've approached that over the past a few different ways. One of our newest ways to approach the optimization piece is through a product called Force that is a physics-based solution that attempts to get you uniform chip thickness and uniform and optimal cutting speed, which we advertise that it will extend your cutter life over 2 times and can reduce your cycle time by 25%. But we've got customers that have used that have actually gotten a lot bigger benefit from that. So it's all physics-based solutions. So it uses a lot of real data, empirical results, to be able to optimize NC programs to provide a lot of different benefits. Our core competence is in metal cutting, but we've got over a decade working with composites as well. So specifically composites toolpath generation, which as a composites product specialist, that's my area of expertise. We generate machine independent toolpaths for any number of different machines. So these could be robots or gantries that place fiber on a form. So it could be automated fiber placement, automated tape layup, could be toolpaths for probing, ultrasonic knife cutting, any number of those or more, dry fiber stitching. Our composites realm is continually growing and supported alongside with the simulation of all those products as well, as that is our core area of expertise, is the simulation of all that NC code as well.
Lovely. And Vericut, obviously, as well. In terms of that, what is that, I suppose, and what does it offer in your own words? What are the key benefits?
So Vericut is all about accuracy. It's about having the virtual machine configuration match as close as possible to your real machine configuration. We can simulate any number of axes that you might have, whether it's 3-axis or 5-axis milling machine. We work directly with the customers and also directly with the machine tool builders to provide accurate simulation. And we also have a library of models, a library of controls, you know, things like Siemens 840D or FANA controls that we've built and maintained over the years to not just have accurate models, but also to correctly and accurately parse the NC code that we're working with. And some of the benefits that arise from that deal with, obviously you could catch machine collisions. It's much easier and much less costly to catch a machine collision in software versus on the shop floor. I mentioned the optimization piece earlier. We are not just providing the means to check what you've done, but also to improve and build upon it. So there's a lot of benefit we have there in not only just risk avoidance, but also optimization and efficiency gains as well.
Lovely. And in terms of obviously the CAM verification, the obviously internal computer aided manufacturing verification, why is Vericut better than that? What are the, I suppose, the key differences between the two systems?
Well, so the biggest difference is the fact that we do work with the actual NC code. We have more NC experts from the industry working for CG Tech than probably you'll find anywhere else in the entire industry. We know NC code, and we use and leverage that information and experience to provide accurate simulation and optimization. So other, our competitors and alternatives don't necessarily work directly with the NC code. They work with a pre-processed state. And as a result, there are things in the machine code that they're not taking account of, they're not keeping up with, and that would actually affect the quality of the part, that would affect the end result. So by working directly with the NC code, we, like I said, we're as close to the manufacturing process as you can be.
Lovely. And in terms of getting Vericut into its current form, was there a bit of a journey for that? Can you discuss maybe what it originally looked like or what it was going to be like before its current iteration really now?
So we're a professional software company with over 30 years of experience. So this has been a long journey to get where we are. We do all of our development in-house. We're 100% self-owned, self-financed company. And we try to stay very connected with our user base. So as the software and the products have developed over the decades, we've done so with a mindset of keeping the customer inputs and the customer needs and requirements at the very forefront of everything we do. And I think most of our customers would agree that if they need to provide feedback or if they need an enhancement or something that we don't currently offer, we're always open to listening to that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in terms of IoT and automation, you know, it's obviously, you know, having such a significant effect in the manufacturing industry, isn't it? What ways are you sort of leveraging this new technology with all of automation and introducing products that actually have that, have a value?
For us, and I think for a lot of people, in the Internet of Things and Industry 4.0 is primarily related to, you know, how connected are your different operations and processes and how connected is your information. And we like to think that our products are well integrated with many other useful features. We have direct interfaces to several CAD/CAM systems, whereas a designer can take their design, their part design, and import it directly into their virtual machine within our software with a seamless integration there and position it all correctly. We also have integration with tooling databases and what we call smart tools, which would let a user download certain cutting files that include the recommended feeds and speeds and parameters that would need to be used to program with that cutting and smart tool. And we integrate with those services. So we try to make it as easy for our users to get the information that they need from where they have it to our software and then out where they need it again, whether it's PLM integration or any number of factors.
Lovely, lovely. And in terms of introducing technology, how important is it to introduce technology that actually, you know, has a value and will improve what you already have? Because it's all well and good sometimes, you know, implementing technology, but if it's not for any real purpose, then it's just introducing technology for technology's sake, isn't it? How important is that to measure?
Well, we think it's vital. We're not in the business, and I don't think anybody can be in the business long term just to develop and innovate for the sake of innovation. Now, that's one of the reasons why our customers are so important to us and to our product, is because, you know, without them, there's no business. And so we want to make sure that the innovations that we're making, whether it's, you know, force, you know, better user interface, an easier to use user interface. Whatever we do, we want to make sure that it has a positive impact for our users and actually does provide them real value. You just can't stay in this business long term if you don't.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And you mentioned there obviously about the importance of customers. That customer centricity, does that really drive their demands? Does that really drive sort of how, what you operate and how you go about your business?
Absolutely. We have things called Vericut User Exchanges, or what we abbreviate to VUES, every year. And normally, in normal years, it is something where we'll, you know, invite our users in, we'll give them a free lunch, free breakfast. They'll get a chance to see what we're doing, what enhancements we're making to the product. We'll give them a chance to ask questions, to really feel like they understand where we're going, what feedback we've listened to from them in the past, give them a chance to offer additional feedback. But even in this unprecedented time that we're in now, we've still done our user exchanges. They've just been all online. So we still, you know, even right now when things are so completely up in the air, we still really make a point to give our users a voice. And to give them a chance to provide the feedback and to, you know, foster and continue the relationship between us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And obviously, you know, you alluded to that just there, obviously, with COVID-19. It's affected businesses all around the globe, hasn't it? But in terms of CG Tech, how has it impacted your operations? And talk to me about maybe the effect that it's had, because you just obviously said about the, you know, making sure that everything goes on virtually. How what other ways has it affected operations?
So we are lucky in the regard that we are a software company. So much of our software development and in general our operations can continue, you know, in light of this. We can easily and have transitioned for at least for a period of time of many of our employees working remotely. And some of our employees are remote to begin with, so it does not really affect their operations. But we're also an international company. We have offices all over the globe, in South Korea, Russia, the UK, France, Italy, South America, North America, like all over. So that has impacted, you know, we can't make customer visits. We can't hold in-person user exchanges due to the current situation. And so we have had to adapt to that, but we are lucky in a lot of regards that we have had a tech support organization that has transitioned rapidly to online training. We've developed and sought out some different tools that will allow them to still deliver training and support online. And then we also have, you know, there are tons of tools to still conduct meetings and share ideas and collaborate online, just like we're doing now.
Excellent, excellent. And in terms of, you know, obviously responding to the latest trends, can you talk to me about maybe the value of innovation and how important it is to lead with that sort of proactive and agile approach in the market?
Yeah, we, for us, it's important not only to identify those current trends, but to react appropriately to them. An example would be the, you know, additive manufacturing or like laser sintering, FDM style of manufacturing that is rapidly increased in popularity. And that is something that we identified as, you know, not in our past experience like metal cutting was, but it's something that we saw as definitely the way of the future. And that's something that we jumped on to being able to support. So we support, you know, 3D printing in terms of simulating that G code, just like our metal cutting or just like our automated fiber placement simulation. So it's important to identify and appropriately respond to those trends because, you know, there are tools out there that every manufacturing group are going to need or does need. So if we're not quick enough to jump on that, someone else will.
How difficult is that sort of managing, you know, the importance of innovation, but also, you know, making sure that you're not introducing, kind of as we talked about earlier, making sure you're just not doing it for the sake of it. How important is that to juggle the balance between obviously innovation and being proactive, but or risking you know, making the wrong decision?
Well, and I think that's a great question, and that ties back into the customer centricity. You know, if we give them a voice to help provide feedback and even a little bit of guidance on what sort of tools they need for the future, what sort of trends that they're identifying that that would be useful to support, in addition to our own efforts and resources. Yeah. Like we don't just let, you know, them call all the shots, but you know, they're a vital voice in the product development. And we use that in addition to our own research and our own findings to help try and reduce risk. Because if we do have a bunch of customers asking for something, odds are they would use that tool. So that helps keep our customers happy, reduce risk, and helps us also narrow down the very long list of areas that we want to innovate in and add to our product capability.
Lovely. Thank you very much. In terms of developing key strategic relationships with, you know, partners and vendors, can you talk me through any specific partners that have contributed to success?
Absolutely. So key partners and relationships are really important to us, especially since we're a professional software company. That is our realm of experience. So we rely on partner relationships for machine tool vendors, you know, hardware producers, and CAD/CAM vendors and solutions there to have a good working relationship between them. Because as a user is going to need solutions from all three of those areas, And we want to be on good terms, and we are machine independent. So we want to work with many people. So for the composites side, you know, machine tool vendors like Electro Impact, MTorres, Microsoft, Accudyne, Thieves, you know, a lot of different machine vendors. And really we're open to working with anybody. Because we recognize that in order to provide our users and our customers with the tools that they need, we need to be on good working relationships with everybody. So, you know, for the metal cutting side, Mezac, Howes, DMG Mori, and then CAD/CAM partners like NX, Mastercam, Dassault, Spree, all of those are really important for us to establish and manage, foster, and grow. To make sure that we're able to provide our customers with the tools and the support that they need.
Lovely. And what do you look for in a key relationship? Like when looking to establish a partnership, what are the key characteristics that you really search for?
We want to work with people who want to work with us. And that seems really simple and maybe a little naive to say, but at the end of the day, you know, if we can't have open collaboration with a partner, if we can't have and establish some mutual trust, a desire to work together to help our mutual customers, then it makes things a lot harder. When we're working with partners that have that same desire to focus on the customer like we do, we find it goes a lot better. It's easier to collaborate with them, to brainstorm, to ultimately materialize the solutions our customers are asking for.
Yeah, having that mutual trust is essential, isn't it, to any strategic relationship. I've had people in the past describe partnerships almost like a relationship, you know, and there's good and bad to both, but, you know, you need to be willing to work to make the relationship work.
Absolutely.
And it's always a funny example when people say that to me. In terms of, I guess, the future of manufacturing, what do you expect that to look like? Now I know, you know, if I'd have asked you this last year, you'd have, you know, you would never have had a clue that COVID would have been around the corner, would you? But although it's impossible to predict, what do you anticipate, I suppose, the next few years in the industry looking like?
So I think in general, you know, broad strokes, things, I think users are going to demand smaller, faster, more complex and cheaper. Which for any sort of supplier is hard to offer a solution that meets all those requirements. But, you know, in the composites realm, we're seeing people demand more capability in terms of just the types of parts that they're producing are harder to produce. You know, we're not looking at, the common part is not a 30 foot long flat composite structure. You know, it's a short, you know, 4 foot long closed form, you know, something like a spar or a duct that has really sharp radiuses on it and is much more difficult to produce. And just as the technology continues to mature and evolve, we're seeing that a lot of people demand the increase in capability that comes with that. So robots are a huge, huge part of that. They give a lot more capability over the traditional 6, 7, or 8 axis gantry solutions. And, you know, I think that smaller and goes with the bit more capable. You know, you're seeing companies like Desktop Metal bring to market this product that is, you know, could fit feasibly on your desktop, that can do 3D printing and produce quality parts that you would actually want to use on your shop floor. So it's an analogy would be, you know, when computers first came out, it took up an entire room. And now I've got actually 3 computers on my desk right now. So it's, as things get more advanced, more capable, they also get smaller and ultimately cheaper so that more people can take advantage of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in terms of your organization, CG Tech, what does the next few years look like for you guys as well?
I think we're going to want to stick to, you know, what we're committed to, which is our customer. You know, after it's possible, you know, to meet back in person. We want to resume our in-person trainings and user meetings. We want to continue to grow our composites side of the business, as well as our obviously metal cutting side of the business and simulation. Force, the product Force, has been really instrumental here in the recent time to provide a lot of users with many benefits, from, you know, extending cutter life, reducing costs, increasing cycle time, reducing costs there. We think that there's room for improvement that we want to bring to that product, and we want to expand its use as well, because we feel like a lot of people maybe think it's too good to be true. You know, when you're talking about reducing your cycle, you know, optimizing any program and reducing your cycle time by a quarter is seems like it's a hard to actually follow through in, but you know, we are seeing users that continually get those benefits or more. So we want to continue focusing on what we're strong in, what we're competent in, and also continue to build those relationships with partners, with users, and continue to steer our ship towards supporting our customer.
Lovely. Thank you very much. They were obviously all my questions. I feel that this went really well and we discovered a load of new topics. Thank you very much for your time, Charlie. And I'll be in touch soon.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.